Okay, let's unpack this. I want you to picture, the most robust thing you can imagine. We're talking about the backbone of modern civilization here.
Right.
A high-pressure gas pipeline cutting through a continent, or maybe the massive reactor vessel in a nuclear plant. The cables on a huge suspension bridge. What is the material doing all that heavy lifting?
It's steel. Almost every single time, it's steel.
Right, it's steel. And we choose it because it's supposed to be this superhero of materials. It's tough, it's strong, and critically, it's ductile.
Meaning it bends before it breaks. It gives you a warning.
Exactly. It gives you a warning, ideally.
Ideally, yes. That is the promise of steel.
But then enter the villain of our story, the smallest thing in the entire universe. Element number one.
A single proton, a single electron.
A single tiny atom that can bring that massive, indestructible steel structure to its knees. Hydrogen.
It really does sound like a movie tagline, doesn't it? But you're absolutely right. Hydrogen embrittlement is,
Yeah.
well, it's the invisible enemy of metallurgy.
It's terrifying.
It is, because it takes that one superhero quality, that ductility, and it just steals it. It turns a material that should stretch like taffy into something that snaps like glass.
No warning.
No warning, just catastrophic failure.
And that is the kind of thing that, if you're an engineer, it keeps you up at night. But today, for this deep dive, we aren't just doing a generic hydrogen is bad overview. We're looking at a specific, almost detective story level mystery inside the metal.
We are. We're digging into a Master of Philosophy thesis by Sheng De Pu from the University of Cambridge.
And we should say this is some serious work.
Oh, absolutely. This was supervised by Dr. Steve Oy and the legendary Professor HKDH Bhadesia. I mean, we are dealing with top-tier materials science here.
So the central mystery they're investigating is something called phase transformation.
Right.
Because, and this honestly blew my mind when I started reading the sources, steel isn't just a rock. It's not static.
That is a fantastic way to put it. Steel is dynamic.
Okay.
Depending on how you treat it, if you heat it, cool it, or, in this case, crush it, its internal crystal structure can change
The atoms literally rearrange themselves.
to a completely different architecture.
And the two main architectures we need to know for this are austenite and martensite.
Correct. Those are the phases. And here's the conflict. Hydrogen behaves completely differently depending on which house it's living in.
So the mission of this deep dive is to figure out what happens when the house suddenly changes while the hydrogen is still inside.
Exactly. Imagine the hydrogen is sitting comfortably in an austenite house. Suddenly, stress forces that house to transform into martensite. What happens to the tenant?
Does it explode out? Does it get stuck somewhere else?
That's the puzzle Sheng De Pu set out to solve.
Okay, so before we get to the results, which involve some incredibly cool, almost CSI style forensic work, we need to understand the physics here. We have the steel phases and we have the hydrogen.
Right.
You said they behave differently. How so?
It really all comes down to two variables. Diffusivity and solubility.
Or, in plain English.
How fast can the hydrogen move, and how much of it can the steel hold?
Okay, let's start with speed, diffusivity.
So, on one side, we have ferrite or martensite. These have what's called a body-centered cubic or BCC structure.
Don't let the jargon scare you. What does that mean for the hydrogen?
It means the lattice, the 3D grid of iron atoms, is pretty open. So, hydrogen moves through it incredibly fast. It's like a highway.
Say how stat in the notes, it was wild. In this structure, hydrogen can travel 100 micrometers in less than a second.
Less than a second. In the world of atomic diffusion, that is hypersonic speed. It just zips right through.
Okay, so that's the highway. Now, what about austenite?
Austenite is different. It has a face-centered cubic or FCC structure. This is much more densely packed.
So less wiggle room.
A lot less. So for hydrogen, moving through austenite is, well, it's not a highway.
It's like moving through molasses.
Exactly. Or trying to push through a really crowded subway car at rush hour.
And the difference in speed is enormous, right? That same 100 micrometer trip that takes a second on the highway. How long in austenite?
Tens of days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 1 second versus tens of days.
It is orders and orders of magnitude different. But
Ugh.
here's the flip side, and this is crucial. Solubility.
How much you can hold.
Right. Austenite moves slow, but it acts like a sponge. Because of that specific crystal structure, it can hold a massive amount of hydrogen.
How much more?
We're talking 2 to 3 orders of magnitude more than ferrite or martensite.
So austenite is this slow-moving sponge, just full of hydrogen, and martensite is a fast-moving sieve that can't hold much at all.
Precisely. And this is where the trouble really starts. If you have a piece of steel that is austenite, it might be holding a lot of hydrogen.
Yeah.
But since diffusion is so slow, the hydrogen's just sitting there.
It's not really a threat. It can't go anywhere.
It's relatively harmless, but if you stress that steel, say by bending a pipe or crushing a support beam.
Uh-oh.
Exactly. If you stress it, that austenite can suddenly transform into martensite.
The sponge turns into the sieve.
The sponge turns into the sieve, and at the same time, the molasses turns into a highway.
That sounds like a recipe for a bomb going off. You have all this stored hydrogen, and suddenly the walls come down and the speed limit is gone.
That is the fear. But before we get to the actual experiments, we have to talk about one more concept that complicates this whole picture.
Okay.
We have to talk about traps.
Traps. Right. This kept coming up in the reading. It sounds very dramatic. What's a trap in a piece of metal?
So we often talk about crystals as if they're these perfect repeating grids of atoms. But in the real world, materials have defects.
They're not perfect.
Not at all. And a trap is basically one of those defects in the metal's crystal lattice. It could be a dislocation, like a wrinkle in a rug, but on an atomic scale, or a vacancy where an atom is missing.
And these defects, they attract hydrogen.
They do. They act like little magnets, and they can catch the hydrogen atoms and hold them.
Okay, so this is where it gets more complicated.
Right, because there are weak traps and strong traps.
And what's the difference?
A weak trap, we often call it a reversible trap, holds the hydrogen loosely. If you heat it up a bit, the hydrogen can pop right back out. That is diffusible hydrogen.
And that's the dangerous stuff.
That is the really dangerous stuff. That is what migrates to a crack tip and causes the steel to snap.
And the strong traps.
Strong traps, or irreversible traps, they act like a maximum security prison. They hold that hydrogen forever, or at least until you melt the steel down.
So, ironically, hydrogen in a strong trap is safe.
It's locked away, it can't migrate, it can't cause failure.
So, really, the whole game of engineering safe steel is about managing where the hydrogen sits. You want it in the prison, not roaming the streets.
That's a great way to think about it.
Okay, so we have our players. We have the sponge, which is austenite, the highway, which is martensite, and the traps, the defects. Now let's look at how Sheng Depu and his team actually investigated this. The methodology is pretty intense.
It is a classic scientific stress test. They took three specific types of steel, which we'll meet in a moment. First, they had to get the hydrogen into them.
Right. How do you view that?
They use a process called electrochemical charging. They dip the steel in this cocktail.
I saw the recipe. It was table salt and ammonium thiocyanate.
Yeah, definitely not something you want to drink. Then they use electricity to basically force the hydrogen atoms from that solution into the metal lattice until it's saturated.
So the steel's fully charged up, then the trigger.
Compression. They put these samples into a machine and just squash them. They aren't trying to break them. They're mechanically forcing that crystal structure to change.
Forcing the austenite to turn into martensite.
Exactly. And then the hard part, you have to see where the hydrogen went.
Which is tricky since it's invisible.
Very tricky. So they use two main methods. The first is thermal desorption analysis, or TDA. Think of this as an interrogation.
You heat it until it talks.
Basically, you heat the steel at a constant controlled rate. As it gets hotter, the hydrogen starts to escape. If a puff of gas comes off at a low temperature, that's your loose, diffusible hydrogen.
The dangerous stuff.
Right. If you have to heat it way up to see a peak, that's hydrogen coming out of the deep, strong traps.
So it gives you a profile, a fingerprint of where the hydrogen was hiding.
Exactly. But that's just data. They also used a second method to actually see it. It's called microprinting.
This was my favorite part. It sounded like something out of an old spy movie.
It's really elegant. It's borrowed from old school analog photography. They coat the surface of the steel with a nuclear emulsion that has silver bromide in it.
Like on-camera film.
Just like film. But instead of light reacting with the silver, it's the hydrogen. When a hydrogen atom leaks out of the steel, it chemically reacts with the silver ions.
Or what does it do?
It turns the silver ions into little metallic silver particles. So literally, where the hydrogen leaks out, it leaves a silver spot.
So it creates a map.
A perfect map. You can look at it under a microscope and say, look, the hydrogen is pouring out of this specific transformed region.
That is so cool. It's CSI for atoms. Okay, so we have the setup. Now let's talk about the contenders. They tested three different steels, right?
Three steels, and they each have very different personalities. They were chosen to test very specific scenarios.
Let's meet them. First up, duplex steel.
Duplex. It's a hybrid, a mix of about half austenite and half ferrite. It's generally considered very stable. This was essentially their control group.
And it holds a lot of hydrogen.
A lot, up to 40 parts per million because of all that austenite.
Okay, contender number two, austenitic steel 304.
The shapeshifter. This is a common stainless steel, but it's known to be unstable. If you so much as look at it wrong, it wants to flip from austenite into martensite.
And finally, contender number three, bainitic steel.
The plot twist. This one is complex. It's mostly ferry plates with these tiny little bits of austenite trapped between them, and it has very low solubility.
It can't hold much hydrogen.
Almost none. Less than half a part per million.
So here the stable control, the unstable shapeshifter, and the low hydrogen complex one. They charged them, they crushed them. What happened?
So, case one, the duplex steel, the stubborn one.
Right. They loaded it with hydrogen, crushed it, and hoped to see something.
Nothing happened.
That didn't transform.
The austenite in that duplex steel was just too stubborn. The sample deformed, it sheared, but the actual crystal structure didn't flip.
Wow.
They even tried dipping it in liquid nitrogen to thermally shock it. Still nothing.
So no phase transformation,
Yeah.
which means for the hydrogen.
Nothing happened to the hydrogen either. The TDA profile, the interrogation chart, looked exactly the same before and after. Because the house didn't change, the tenant stayed put.
Okay, so that confirms the baseline. If the phase doesn't change, the hydrogen behavior is stable. Sometimes science needs boring results to prove the exciting ones.
Absolutely.
So let's move to case two, the austenitic steel 304, the shapeshifter.
Now, this is where the action is. They compressed the 304 steel, and it successfully transformed. The austenite flipped into martensite.
And the hydrogen.
The experiment captured a massive burst in the hydrogen desorption rate.
A burst.
A huge release. Remember our analogy?
The sponge turned into a sieve.
And the molasses turned into a highway. Suddenly, all that hydrogen that was happily sitting in the austenite had nowhere to live and a very fast road to get out.
So he just flooded out of the metal.
Exactly. The lattice diffusion accelerated massive amounts of hydrogen out, and when they used the microprinting, the silver spots, they could see it.
Where'd it come from?
The silver particles were clustered specifically over the regions that had transformed into martensite.
So that confirms the fear. If you have unstable austenite holding hydrogen and it transforms, you get a sudden release of mobile hydrogen. That sounds incredibly dangerous.
It is. That mobile hydrogen is what rushes to crack tips. It builds up pressure, weakens the bonds. That's what leads to embrittlement and failure.
Okay, so the pattern is established. Transformation equals faster hydrogen release. Seems open and shut. But then, there's case three, the bainitic steel.
This is why we do research, because nature loves to throw a curveball.
What happened with the bainitic steel?
They compressed it. It experienced a small amount of transformation, less than 10%, but it did transform. So, based on the last result, what would you expect?
Well, I'd expect a burst, maybe a smaller one because there was less transformation, but definitely an increase in the hydrogen release rate.
And you would be wrong.
Why?
The desorption rate actually dropped
Wait, it slowed
and
down.
slowed down significantly.
Why? Why? You just told me martensite is a highway. Why would creating a new highway make the traffic stop?
This is the real detective work in the thesis. You have to look at what else happens during compression.
Yeah.
When you crush metal, you aren't just changing phases, you're damaging it.
You're creating defects.
You're creating dislocations, vacancies, you're creating traps.
You're creating new jail cells.
Precisely. You are creating thousands of them. And in the bainic steel, the compression created so many new defects that they acted like massive roadblocks.
So even though the highway was there were traffic jams everywhere.
That's a perfect analogy. It's a tug of war. On one side, you have the phase transformation, increasing diffusivity, trying to speed things up. On the other, you have plastic deformation, creating traps, trying to slow things down.
And in the bainitic steel, the traps won.
The traps won decisively. In the 304 steel, there was so much hydrogen to begin with that the speed boost just overwhelmed everything. But in the bainitic steel, which had very little hydrogen, the traps were dominant. They caught almost all of it.
That is fascinating. So it's not a simple rule of transformation is bad. It's about a balance.
It's a competition between increased diffusivity and increased trapping.
So let's zoom out. What does this mean for the listener? I mean, most of us aren't designing reactor vessels, but for the engineers who are, what's the big takeaway?
The big so what here is that you cannot just look at the phase change in isolation. For a long time, the focus was just austenite goes to martensite. But you have to look at the damage, the defects that are generated during that change.
And it implies that stable austenite is actually the hero here.
Absolutely. The duplex steel showed us that. If the austenite is stable, it keeps the hydrogen locked in. It holds it tight, and the hydrogen moves too slowly to gather and cause cracks. It neutralizes the threat.
Whereas unstable austenite?
Unstable austenite is a ticking time bomb. It holds the hydrogen, but the moment you stress it, exactly when you don't want the metal to be weak, it releases a flood of mobile hydrogen right into the structure.
That is such a powerful image. It's not just about the material you start with. It's about what that material becomes when it's under attack.
And that's the nuance this thesis really brings to light. It's not black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand the specific interplay of phase, defects, and hydrogen concentration for every single alloy.
I love that. It complicates things, but it also makes the solution clearer. Stability is key.
Stability is everything.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought from the source material that we didn't really get to explore, but I found super provocative.
Oh, I think I know what you're referring to.
The thesis mentions that hydrogen itself can lower the energy required to cause these phase transformations.
Yes. This is a very deep rabbit hole.
We've been talking about this as if the transformation moves the hydrogen.
Yeah.
You know, the transformation is the cause and the hydrogen movement is the effect. But this creates kind of chicken and egg scenario, doesn't it?
It does.
To what extent is the hydrogen actually the architect of the transformation in the first place?
It raises the question, is the hydrogen just a passenger on the bus or is it actually driving the bus? Is the presence of hydrogen weakening the crystal structure just enough to cause it to flip phases?
It's a little unsettling, the idea that single atoms could be calling the shots inside a steel beam.
It just reminds us that at the atomic level, materials are these dynamic living systems. They aren't just cold dead metal. They're reacting to their environment constantly.
Exactly. So next time you cross a bridge or drive a car, take a second to respect the atomic traffic jams that are keeping you safe. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Pleasure to be here.
See you next time.